Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Yovan, boo-ha! Boo-ha!
Yo, yo! I'm Yovan Buha, NBA reporter and analyst for Buha's Block, and welcome to another episode. LeBron James has finally made his decision 4.0. He is joining the Philadelphia 76ers on a two-year, $8 million deal, a veterans minimum deal. After all the buzz over the past month or so with Cleveland and Miami and Golden State, it ends up being Philly, who most people had fourth on their list of LeBron's six teams, with Minnesota and Denver rounding out the top six. As you guys can see, I am on vacation. I am in Puerto Rico. I'm half Puerto Rican. My mom is from Puerto Rico. I had not been here in 16 years. So I'm going to go quickly with this one. Want to get back to spending time with the fam, but I had to come on here and react to this. And so I want to go through my first impressions with the deal. I will have another reaction next week when I'm back in LA. In terms of the LeBron side, I am not surprised that he chose Philly through a basketball lens. If you look at the Sixers, like to me, they were the team, when we saw the six teams that he was looking at, I thought they were the team that made the most sense. Just the more I thought about it and thought about his comments to end last season at his exit interviews and him feeling like he had more left in the tank, it felt like he would prioritize a situation where he would clearly have the ball more. And that's why I settled on Miami recently over the past week and a half of that being the best fit, because I felt offensively he could play point guard, he could be the lead ball handler, and basically go back to his Lakers role prior to the Luka trade. That to me was the one place he could potentially do that. He could have maybe done that in Golden State as well, but Steph and Draymond are going to have the ball in their hands to a degree, and that's also more of a motion flow based offense. So just looking at him in Cleveland or him in Philly, it seemed like it was those four teams. I just wondered, with Cleveland having Mitchell and Harden and Philly having Maxey, Edgecombe, Brown, and Embiid, just how that would all work out. But clearly, LeBron felt going to Philly, regardless of whatever usage concerns or role concerns there might be, or health concerns with the entirety of the group, that was just going to give him the best chance to win a championship, as he said in his tweet, and as has come out from the clutch side since then. And I think it makes sense. Like, you could argue that of all the six teams, or at least the four primary teams that he was considering, LeBron on Philly is a better team than LeBron on Miami, LeBron on Golden State, LeBron on Cleveland. I thought Miami was the sweet spot where he could get the role, he could get a championship level running mate in Giannis, and he could, the organization, all that stuff. But he feels like that's the case in Philly, and I get it, because there's also a component of Philly needed a power forward, right? They were going to be starting either Dean Wade or Dominic Barlow in that role currently, and now they just slide LeBron James in there, and they have arguably the best starting five in the NBA, or at least the best starting five offensively in the NBA, in Joel Embiid, LeBron James, Jaylen Brown, VJ Edgecombe, and Tyrese Maxey. There are not a lot of lineups in the NBA where VJ Edgecombe would be the fifth guy in a lineup, the fifth option, right? Like, that's just, I mean, this is a guy that could easily drop 20 points per game on most teams, and he is now your fifth guy, to say nothing of how they figure out the top four and how that usage is going to be. In terms of usage last season, I have it here. Jaylen Brown had a 35% usage percentage. Joel Embiid had a 32% usage percentage. Tyrese Maxey had a 29% usage percentage, and LeBron had a 27% usage percentage. So just looking at those four from a role and fit perspective, you add in Edgecombe's 19%, and the Philly starting lineup is actually at 142% in terms of usage. And obviously you can only have 100% usage at one time, or, you know, that's what's possible with the lineup. I will note, of course, that Joel Embiid is almost certainly going to miss some amount of time during the regular season. LeBron will probably miss some time. They will be conservative with him. They will manage him. And you never know what's going to happen with Maxey, Brown, or Edgecombe. So there will be times where those guys are out and the usage is distributed more appropriately or more to the liking of several of the guys. They'll also be able to stagger a bunch. Like, this is going to be a situation where if I'm Nick Nurse, I have at least two of my starters on the floor at all times. And I like the depth to a degree in Philly. Right now it's Anthony Simons, Dean Wade, Dominic Barlow, Adem Bona. Like, those are probably the top nine right now. But you want at least two of your five starters on the floor at all times. And I think they will be able to structure it that way. And that will obviously help with the usage, help with the shot attempts and just touching the ball a certain amount for everybody. But I think they'll figure it out. I know people love bringing up the, well, there's only one basketball. Like, I get that. But I just think there's enough diversity here with their skill sets, with where they like to attack different spots on the floor. You can run a ton of pick and roll variations. You can go Maxey Jaylen Brown, Maxey LeBron, Maxey Embiid. You could also run inverted pick and rolls with Jaylen Brown and Maxey screening for him, LeBron, Embiid, etc. You could have LeBron being screened for by any of those guys. So just the different ways that they can attack, like, this to me is one of the most loaded starting groups offensively we have ever seen. If we go back to just last season, you can make a case that when Embiid is healthy, which is obviously a big when and a big if, I mean, this group has four top 20 players, top 25 players. And then the fifth guy is VJ Edgecombe, who I think would be at least a number four, if not a number three for a lot of teams right now. So there's an embarrassment of riches there with the starting group. They're going to have to figure out how the pieces ultimately fit together, and guys are going to have to sacrifice. VJ Edgecombe, first and foremost, despite having such a promising rookie season, he is now the number five guy. He's kind of put to the side here a little bit, but you're going to have LeBron having to sacrifice a bit. Like, I think this is going to look more like that March Lakers role, where he's going to be more of, I think on most nights, the third or fourth option, not the first or second. I think the first and second are primarily going to be Tyrese Maxey and Jaylen Brown, but can't forget that Joel Embiid actually had a higher usage rate than Tyrese Maxey and was more of the number one option when he was available. Those three guys are roughly in their prime to some degree. And Maxey's coming off a career year where he established himself as a top 15 player in the league, if not potentially on that top 10 borderline. Jaylen Brown is coming off a season he just finished sixth in MVP voting. And then Embiid is coming off a season where he was really effective and efficient and helped Philly upset Boston in the first round, come back from that 3-1 deficit, and look like an all-NBA guy during the peak of his season. So, like, those three guys are also going to, I mean, they were already going to have to figure it out amongst themselves. Now you're adding in LeBron to that. The one thing I really love with this LeBron fit is, for as much as Maxey has grown as a passer and a playmaker, and he's a stud, he's a beast, I still think LeBron is the team's best passer and playmaker. So there is an element of, I think you can have some LeBron in the post attacking mismatches and playmaking out of that, or again, some of those inverted pick and rolls or just pick and roll play with Maxey or with Jaylen Brown, where LeBron is the screener and the short roll playmaker. Like, you can get some Olympic LeBron, you can get some March LeBron with the Lakers. You could also get LeBron in the first round series against Houston. So I think there's different versions of LeBron you'll get here, and ultimately him bringing that championship experience. You know, Jaylen Brown has that as well. Embiid and Maxey have been to the playoffs multiple times. Like, I think LeBron can shepherd the group, you know, and again, Jaylen Brown, it will be a part of that as well with his championship experience, deep playoff run experience. But like, LeBron can help get this group over the top.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So I really like this group. I was already, I would say, higher on Philly than consensus prior to this. I thought you could have made a case they were already potentially the second best team in the East behind New York. I think New York, defending champs, running it back for the most part, with the exception of losing out on Mitchell Robinson, which will be a big blow for them and I think will affect them in the playoffs. I'm still putting them number one in the East, but you can make a case for Philly as number two right now. And I think in the regular season, that will be dependent on the health of LeBron and Joel Embiid. Can those guys play 60, 65 games? In Embiid's case, maybe 50 games. If they get like 50 games from Embiid, 65 from LeBron, I think this is a team that should be a home court advantage team. Like, they do have the offensive utility and depth to replace those guys in the short term, right? Like, if LeBron goes out for an extended period or Embiid goes out, you can just rely on Maxey, Edgecombe, and Brown more. And I think particularly Edgecombe, because he'll be the guy who's having to sacrifice to a degree. They are a relatively top-heavy team. They have Simons off the bench. And then, you know, I like Wade, Barlow, and Bona, but like, those guys aren't really scorers or offensive contributors. So it is like the starters plus Simons. And then after that, offensively, it's a bunch of question marks or unproven guys. So I think the key for them in the regular season will be health, right? Like, no brainer. But I think for this team in particular, you're relying on Embiid. You're relying on a soon to be 42-year-old. Like, health will be the factor that determines, are they the two seed or are they the six seed, right? Like, they could be somewhere in there. I think they'll be a playoff team. I don't think they'll be a play-in team. I would say in like the aggregate, maybe view them as like the four seed, three or four seed, depending on health. If they have great health, I think they could be the two seed. If they have so-so health, maybe more like the 5-6. So I think in the aggregate, I'd probably put them as like the 3 or 4 seed right now. And then come playoff time, though, I think this is going to be a tough team to beat, because I think the two questions I have with them right now are health and defense. Because you look at that, the starting group, I think Jaylen Brown is no longer the defender that people think he is, or no longer consistently the defender that people think he is. Like, he's not some lockdown guy every single night. He will take on those matchups, but they're putting a ton on Brown and Edgecombe defensively to carry a certain load with that starting group. And if you reduce the usage with those two guys, maybe it ends up working out that way. But I'm more bullish on them in the playoffs defensively, where that's where I think you see a different level of engagement and activity from Embiid, from LeBron, Brown, Edgecombe, et cetera. Like, that's when I think the group can really lock in more on the defensive side in the playoffs. So I think as long as they can get to the finish line or the playoffs in one piece and stay healthy, I think they'll have the firepower, they'll have the talent. Then it's a question of the defense, but I am more bullish on this group in the playoffs defensively than I am in the regular season. In the regular season, it is going to come down to guys like Wade and Barlow and Bona, like, helping out. And we'll see. They're not necessarily done making moves. So maybe they add, they get a couple bargain minimum guys or whatever to help round out the roster and to play certain roles. I think this team has the upside to be a low to mid 50s team in the regular season, be maybe a 2 or 3 seed, and then make a deep playoff run. And I'm talking conference finals or potentially even finals, maybe even win it all. I think they have the upside to do that if everything goes right and guys stay healthy. That's a lot of ifs though, right? And so there's certainly some downside here where Embiid plays 30, 35 games. LeBron isn't quite right. The sciatica rears up, or he suffers a different injury just because of aging and maybe because of the back and him compensating in other ways. And they end up being like a 45 win team or something. And they're like on that 6-7 borderline, and they end up losing in round 1 or 2. Like there's different ways it could play out. And the East is absolutely loaded right now. I think there are 12 teams that could feel they should be in the top 10, at least making the play-in. And then within that, there are several teams who probably feel like they should be making at least the conference finals in Cleveland and Detroit and Boston and Miami. And Atlanta has improved, and Orlando has a new coach, and like Indiana's back with Halliburton. So the East is going to be a bloodbath this year. I think it's actually tougher than the West. I still think the two best teams in the league are at the top of the West, but you could argue that, especially post spot number 6 in the West, once you get through Houston or Minnesota, whoever you want to put at 6, once you get into the play-in mix and the lottery mix, I think the East is clearly better than the West. The final thing that I find really interesting with all this is just LeBron's relationship with Philadelphia and the Philly sports fan, because we know how passionate Philly fans are, and that passion can spill into booing and negativity at home games, and like a random Tuesday night in January in the regular season could lead to the fans booing Philly at any moment, to say nothing of them on social media and whatnot. It's notable that LeBron chose Philly, that he had all these teams offering him essentially the same money. It wasn't like Philly gave him more money to go there. Everyone was offering him minimums, and he chose Philly over more glamour markets like Miami or San Francisco. Cleveland is not a glamour market compared to Philly, but Cleveland is home. And so he picked Philly over home and a couple other glamour markets. So I thought like that to me probably earned some goodwill with Sixers fans. I'm sure they're ecstatic right now, adding Jaylen Brown and adding LeBron to this, and going from a team that pulled off the upset in round 1, makes the second round, and then now adds two of the best 20-25 players in the league to their group, and now is looking like this juggernaut in the East. And so overall, like, this is a really fun, exciting group. I think they're going to have the upside to potentially win a championship, but they have the downside to lose in round 1. There's a lot of variance here in terms of the outcomes, but you look at that 5, I think that's a special group together offensively. There are defense questions, there are health questions, there are also shooting questions. I should mention that with the offense, but none of those guys are like elite shooters necessarily. I guess Maxey's the closest, but if you look at last year in terms of 3-point percentage, Maxey shot 36.7%. VJ shot 35.4, Jaylen shot 34.7, Embiid shot 33.3, and LeBron shot 31.7. So 4 of the 5 guys shot below league average. VJ and Jaylen were pretty much there, right within a percentage and a half or so. Maxey was right above it, but then Embiid and LeBron both had down shooting season. So LeBron's jumper will be a big factor here of if he can bounce back to being that 40%+ catch and shoot guy he was the 2 prior seasons to this past one. But defense, health, shooting, those are the 3 questions. I think they'll figure it out offensively. I think it's a good problem to have in terms of having just so much offensive talent and firepower that you don't know what to do with it. And I also think with the passing with Maxey and LeBron, and even Embiid and Jaylen Brown have improved as passers over the last like 2-3 years, I think they will find a way to make it work. I think Nick Nurse is a really good coach. He's won a championship before. He's been to multiple deep playoff runs. I think he will also play a big role in this in getting creative. I would not be surprised if they play some zone and it'd get a little funky in terms of where things go from here. Sixers got to figure out the rest of their roster, their bench. The rest of the NBA can move forward now. I think you'll start to see transactions. It's funny, this was kind of a Friday news dump with it happening Friday morning. And a lot of, we'll see if there's any activity the rest of the day after I record this. But I think you'll start to see some resolution with the Jonathan Kuminga situation. I think right now it's most likely between Cleveland and the Lakers, and just seeing which one of those teams can shed some money or shed players, find a third team to make a situation work in terms of acquiring Kuminga. But you'll have this other set of moves that are now going to happen, and we can finally proceed with free agency and finish it and maybe be done by, you know, the start of August. And you also have the Kawhi investigation looming and that potential trade going through or you know, going through again. But that'll do it. That is my first impression of LeBron to the Sixers. Decision 4.0. LeBron is heading to the Northeast, and it is going to be one of the stories of the season. It is going to be fascinating to see how it all plays out. But shout out to the Late Night Gang. Shout out to the chat. Appreciate you all. For those watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit that subscribe button, turn on channel notifications, and like and comment on this video. Those listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice, please be sure to follow, download, and leave a 5-star review. I'll be back next week. I have a mailbag tucked away that I will save now, most likely for Monday, and then I'll be back Tuesday. So you know, potentially doing something Tuesday, if not for sure on Wednesday. But appreciate you guys. Enjoy your weekend and talk to you all soon.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.